We need something small enough to get into that hangar bay. Ugh, too bad we blew up all the ties at that base.
Well, there is one left, but it's not at the base.
Look, this is serious, Zeb. For Kanan.
Fine.
What's going on?
The tie we stole a while back? We didn't exactly crash it.
And by didn't exactly, you mean?
We didn't crash it. We kept it. Hidden.
You all knew about this? I should be angry. I should yell at you for disobeying a direct order. But right now, I'm just grateful we got it.
There's a slight problem with it.
What kind of problem?
Yeah, what kind of problem?
Hey guys, it's Taylor Gray, Ezra Bridger from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to the Carbonite Crew Podcast. May the Force be with you, always. Spectre 6, out!
Hey, kid. I'm putting together a crew.
Hey, guys! Happy New Year! How are you all doing? This is Tyler, and we just attended IndiePopCon Fort Wayne. It was their last event for the year. And they did not disappoint. IndiePopCon is a pop culture convention put on in Indianapolis, Indiana every year. And this year they decided to stop by Fort Wayne at the end of the year for a special event, and it was awesome. This was our first time as a podcast attending any convention, and we had a blast. The event did not disappoint. There was so much to do, so much to see. If you guys ever get the chance to go to IndiePopCon, we highly suggest it. It was so much fun. While we were there, we were lucky enough to attend a Taylor Gray live panel. Taylor Gray voices Ezra Bridger in the Star Wars animated series Rebels. So getting to hear from him talk about Rebels and the process and just different stuff surrounding that show was awesome. It was really informal and it was just a cool chit-chat between fans and Taylor. It was just a good time. So we're going to play some of that audio for you guys just to give kind of a taste of what it was like. We hope you guys enjoy. Again, Happy New Year from the Carbonite crew to you guys.
Very first PopCon Fort Wayne 2018. You enjoying yourselves?
Yeah.
Guys, welcome to Fort Wayne, and welcome to our special guest here, Taylor Gray. You are, I don't even give you an introduction. They know you. You've been chatting like you're roommates with them now.
Yeah, this is pretty informal, hanging out. Talking Star Wars.
Star Wars. Is that what we're talking?
I hope
Star
so.
Star Wars pop culture.
Apparently a little Harry Potter, too.
A little Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter.
So do you want to, like, give a little spiel? Do you want to start taking questions right away? You tell me, dude.
Whatever people are interested in, because I can talk. I don't know if it's going to go in the right direction, but yeah. How many people have seen all four seasons of Rebels? Oh, nice. Right on. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I've been talking to different people throughout the day, and it's a good amount. I've seen most, but almost everyone had seen at least parts of it, whether it was like they lost Disney Channel at some point or wherever it was, or they became disinterested in the show. But it seemed to be more so the like streaming it through Disney. But yeah, it's been a cool show, cool run, and now with the Disney Plus app, I mean, there's so much open for stories and storylines to see everything going. I mean, they're finishing out Clone Wars now, which will be really cool. And I just saw new footage of that last week, because we'll, as a cast, go to like dinner still with like Dave and Ashley and everyone. They were showing me some of the images, which looked pretty awesome.
It's kind of weird to see that come back later than you work on something, and then sometime later you get to see what it turned into.
Oh yeah, that's the strange thing with animation, which I hadn't experienced before, because everything prior to Star Wars, and even now, has been live action, and Rebels has been the first animated thing, and it's so strange because you don't have ultimate control of it in the sense that you did five takes, you have no idea which one they're going to use, how they're going to cut it together, and then you have to wait 9 months until you actually see what you did. Like the whole world between worlds, they told me how cool it was going to be, but I didn't understand until I saw it. Whereas when you're on a set, it can't change too much because right. You see the buildings, you see everything that's there. Except when you have CGI and a green screen, then you're also always interested in what are you guys going to put behind me?
But when you're working physically with other actors in three dimensions, you, you know, I set this down, you pick that up. You know that's going to happen in animation. It could be anything.
It could be anything. And that's the thing that Dave Filoni's talked about, because he's now directing a lot of The Mandalorian, which is the new show, that the live-action show that Star Wars is doing. And he said it's been a little difficult for him because it's this loss of control. And he's used to, if he doesn't like all of our takes, he can kind of cut it up how he wants and then turn it into a look. And he kind of will get what he wants of it. And he said it's interesting because when you have an actor, if they decide to raise their eyebrows on this line or have a different intonation, he can't change it.
Like, yeah, that, you gotta live with it.
Yeah, that's the take. And he said you have a lot more control over how the character is going to turn out. So it is, that is an interesting thing that you see between live action and animation. The nice thing about animation is you can show up in your pajamas. You don't have to go through hours of hair and makeup, which is nice.
There is a push and pull though, but as a physical actor and a voice actor, do you find yourself, when you're doing the voices, making the faces and doing, do you find yourself doing that anyway?
Oh dude, you should see the first time I went to record. Like, all my training when I went to acting school was for live action, like theater. They don't really teach you what to do with a mic.
Right.
And the first take of Rebels, this is 5 years ago, we go in, and I was really nervous because there's a lot of cool actors. It's Star Wars, and I had never done voiceover. So we go in, and I was very prepared, had it memorized even though you have your script in front of you, and they're like, action, into the first scene. And I'm talking to Kanan, and I'm talking to Hera, and then I'm talking to Chopper and talking to everyone, and they're like, great take, but we could hear everyone but Taylor, because I didn't realize, like, this is the only thing that matters, the mic. And they record when we do sessions. They have, like, three mics on every person capturing your facial expressions, the way your mouth moves, and then they send that off to, I want to say Taiwan, and I'm almost positive that's where the animating crew is. And then they go through and they match the animation to how you...
So there's a camera in front, like...
There are so many cameras in front of you. And then Dave's behind the booth.
And they can dissect exactly what, how your lips were curling or whatever.
Yeah, and it's amazing because I had no idea how that was going to come across on the show. And the first time I saw the show, I was like, oh yeah, like that is how I would do that. And it worked, and it was a cool
looks
moment.
The way I talk.
Well, yeah, but you never know. Because I've seen enough animated shows where that's not the case. Where it's, okay, mouth is open, they're talking, mouth is closed.
Right.
And with this, it's unbelievable because they really capture. There are moments, I mean, anyone who's seen the fourth season when Kanan's eyesight comes back, there's nothing said. That's such a moving, pivotal scene that is just a testament to how much they're able to do with the animation where, I mean, that's one of the scenes I hear most about from fans and everyone, because it really held so much weight just off their animation and the culmination of four seasons of a story. But it is such an interesting beast to see. And now that I've like done Rebels, I've kind of started to inch in towards doing other anime shows. And I just did a new one called She-Ra, which is from the He-Man series. There are so many different styles of animation as well. And that one is so different than Rebels. And when I saw it, I was recording by myself. And I was like, where's everyone else? Like, who do I act off of? And they're like, you say the line three times and we'll move to the next one. Say the line three times. I was like, what? Like, what? And that's something that's so amazing about Star Wars. And George Lucas was the one that set that precedent with Clone Wars. He when they started Clone Wars, he wanted them to all be there, even if it meant flying people in. Like, season three, I was living in New York working on a different show there, and I would fly back into L.A. just to record so that we could have that group together.
Right.
Because there, you can feel the dynamic and the energy of everyone. We're just bouncing like this, and that energy is there, which is so cool, and I didn't realize that's a bit abnormal for an animated show.
Right, so you would have an ensemble animated read, which is not typical.
Oh, yeah, and it's funny. Like, people would move into different parts of the room. When the Inquisitor was there, Jason Isaacs, cool, awesome dude, he would be off in the corner, and we'd all be off to the side. And it was you could feel this, like, divide in the room of, like, that's a Sith, we're over here. And it was so funny how that worked. And, like, they would position, you would have, like, name tags for... If I had a big day with Kanan, and it was like a Master Padawan episode, we would be next to each other on the mic, and we would, I would always try and like face my mic so that way I could still look at him but direct mm-hmm. all my sound into the mic. And it was just so cool because it was such a learning experience too, and you learn how to control your voice. And I tip my hat to like Steve Bloom and Vanessa Marshall, who did like Hera and Zeb, because they've done hundreds and hundreds of animated shows, and it's such a craft. Like, I'm used to, you have so many tools to emote with, and when you take all those away and all you have is your voice and a mic,
scary.
It's gnarly, yeah. Yeah. Like you really, you're kind of handicapped, and it's really impressive because there. I mean, Steve is multi-voiced. He did hundreds of voices in our show. Like you would have no idea. You would see like the credit afterwards, and it'd be like, oh wait, he just played 19 characters. So it was really fun, and just a great group of people to make it with. And I'm excited for all the new Star Wars that's coming.
And not all of your viewers, but certainly some of them can be very scrutinizing.
Oh, yeah. The first thing they said when we came in, I didn't know too much about Star Wars and the fan base, per se. Like, I didn't know how many blogs and podcasts, and everyone has an opinion on Star Wars. And it's awesome. Like, that's what makes it so cool, is because everyone can kind of come together on this thing. You go to a celebration, and it's bonkers. It's mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of people, and you, like, you're just talking, and everyone, it's one thing, it's just Star Wars, and people worship it and love it, and everyone, it rallies everyone together, which is so cool. But one of the first things that the head of PR for Lucasfilm had told me coming in, it said, so this is how Star Wars works. You're going to do an episode, and everyone's going to hate it. And then, months later, everyone's going to love it. So just understand, they're going to hate on it no matter what. But then they will rationalize it, and they will read everything about why they did this, why this. And eventually they'll understand why we needed to do this for this story. And then they'll flash. We were talking about it. There wasn't too much over the course of the show. The biggest thing was at the beginning. A lot of people were upset about Clone Wars ending, and rightfully so, the way it did. Going into the Disney acquisition, people were worried. And did we lose Star Wars? What happened? And we did this thing called Star Wars Weekends in Orlando where they would have us down, and it was a really fun time. And we were meeting fans before the show had even come out. And I was getting maybe a quarter of the people coming. They're like, I'm not going to watch your show. I was like, okay.
Nice to meet you.
I was like, yeah. Okay. Like, got it. I never knew why, and they were just like, Clone Wars didn't end the way we wanted to. I won't watch it. And then once the first season came out and reviews started coming come out about it, people kind of got hip to it, and it caught on and snowballed into what we had as the third and fourth season, which was awesome. And there wasn't too much backlash. I mean, bringing Thrawn in was very cool for fans, and a lot of awesome things that Dave just orchestrated so well. And there's more Star Wars to come, so it's really cool. I'm so grateful to be a part of it.
So the spoiler. I'm sorry. Did you have a question?
I do.
Do it.
Boy, see, these are the tough ones.
No.
Did Dave tell you where Ezra is? Do you know where he is?
I went to a dinner 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, with, it was everyone in the Rebels cast. Tia wasn't there, she was traveling, but everyone else, Ashley, Sam Witwer, and Dave. And conversation goes every which way. And then I moved down, we were talking towards the end of it, and I asked that same question, and I got an answer, and that's, okay. Yeah.
I guess, are there enough, like, could someone deduce it, is what I'm asking. Like, is it possible for someone to figure it out?
I mean, it's one of those things, like, what am I going to do tomorrow at 12:05? Actually, there's a better chance of knowing that than where Ezra is. It's one of those things, like, I guess there is a right answer, but there's also a billion possible answers, and that goes for most of Star Wars, which is also what makes the forums a minefield of beauty.
So it's not the sixth sense where the clues were all there,
yeah.
We just didn't put them together.
No, okay. But I mean, we do, the people that have seen the ending, they do say, well, we gotta do this now, and we know who what characters are in that scene. But yeah,
Since you've gotten into voice acting quite recently with Star Wars and Shira, get into are just like that would be like the most cool part to play for a voice acting part.
In animation?
Yeah, just in animation.
I mean, every kid growing up wants to be a superhero. We all want to be a superhero. Every like little boy and girl, you're like, no?
No, yeah.
Oh, yeah. maybe not. And so, live action or animated, a super. I mean, dang, a Jedi's cool. That's also one that you shoot for. But, I mean, I love Spider-Man. I've loved Spider-Man through every incarnation of it. I think so cool, and like, I think that would be an awesome one to do.
He's a good one.
Yeah.
Funny line.
I like Peter Parker. Like yeah. That's a.
Did you see Spider-Verse yet?
I haven't. People are loving it. It's supposed to be amazing.
Yeah, of course, everyone's. Who didn't tie a towel around their neck and run around the house?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Anything else?
Besides Ezra, who's your favorite Star Wars character?
Han Solo. I think that dude is so cool. I think that's one of the coolest characters in film. One of the coolest.
Oh, yeah.
Top five. Just the way, like, just smooth.
All right, then who's the better pilot then, Hera or Han?
I just heard that. It's so funny. Is it Dave? If it was Dave, then I'd get behind it. Someone was putting up an argument for Hera being a better pilot, but Han being better with different pressures. But, like, the way Hera went up in the ranks, they were saying, like, if you just were taking the Rebellion and trying to rank them and say, who would we want flying a ship for this or that, like,
right.
Hera would be higher ranked. But Han has just, like, I mean, he can do anything.
He's
you know what
on,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to argue against him for anything.
He's got the swagger.
Yeah.
Folks, please show Taylor some love.
Thank you guys so much for coming out. We hope you have a great
And there you have it, guys. A little sample, a little preview from the live panel from Taylor Gray that we attended. It was so much fun. I've never experienced anything like that, and I look forward to doing more stuff like that. We're definitely looking forward to getting out to more cons this year. We have a lot lined up for 2019, so keep on the lookout for that. If you guys are interested in hearing audio from live cons or live panels or anything like that, let us know. Hit us up on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, even YouTube. We'll have live episodes up there soon, so keep a lookout for that. Full episodes in their entirety. Email us, carbonitecrew@gmail.com. DM us, whatever it takes. We want to connect with you guys. We want to know what you like. We want to know what you dislike. We do this just to have fun, but we also want to entertain you guys. We want you guys to be fans. We want you guys to be happy and just love it, like it, whatever. We just want you to enjoy it. You know, give you something to do. Give you something to listen to. Maybe give you some new insights. Maybe be like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Or if you have something to say, let us know. You know, we're looking to have guest hosts on and people to chat with and new people to get new perspectives and whatnot. So again, just let us know. Email us, message us, DM us, write a message in the sky with an airplane. We don't know what you want to do. Just do whatever. So until next time, have a safe, happy, healthy new year. From the Carbonite crew to you guys, may the force be with you.